And very happy Tuesday to you at 12:08, Talk Radio 790 KABC, The John Phillips Show. And it's time to fully reopen the state of California for business. Mr. Randy Wangs at the Sports Desk in Culver City.
John, yesterday President Joe Biden had a call with retail CEOs to make sure we're going to get through the holiday season. And I need you to tell me, is this supposed to be a joke?
I know it's been an incredibly busy time for all of you here today, and that's a very good thing from my perspective. But then again, I'm not doing all the work y'all are doing. But all kidding aside, it really, really matters.
I hear he's a comedy genius in France.
Where was the joke that he was kidding about there?
I don't know, but I don't even think Jeffrey the Giraffe from Toys R Us laughed at that one.
Not a joke.
800-222-KABC is the phone number, 1-800-222-5222. Yesterday, Randy, right after the show, I went down to the Costco and took my booster shot.
So you're fully protected against that new variant. What's it called?
It's called the Omicron.
Actually, I don't think I am.
Oh, yeah, you got a J&J booster.
But we could all be optimistic about it, can't we?
Oh, by the way, this is a little confusing because we know what Biden calls it.
It's called the Omicron.
Well, right now the fake doctor's talking to the Board of Supervisors and she calls it something else.
For the identification of Omicron.
Wait, what did she call it?
For the identification of Omicron.
Onlycron?
Only crayon.
Is that any relation to OnlyFans?
For the identification of Omicron.
John, I just got a note. Please never in the same sentence reference Dr. Barbara Ferrer and OnlyFans. Ever.
That certainly would be a fetish, wouldn't it?
No, thank you.
Let me tell you. This is the first time I've gone to Costco around happy hour in a very long time. That business should sell liquor as you do your shopping. Because with all the samples that they've brought back, it's like going to a wedding where they're serving hors d'oeuvres.
It is quite fancy.
It really is. So many more samples now than when I was a child.
Well, and I love to know that even 30 years later, they think people need to try a sample of those dinosaur chicken nuggets because they've never had them before.
But when they cut them up, they don't look like a dinosaur anymore. And you don't get a whole one for the sample. So what's the point?
They chopped the T-Rex's legs off.
Yeah, you're just getting a leg. Well, the subject pretty much everywhere, whether it's the LA County Board of Supervisors or the cable news, the newspapers, whatever the case may be, is this new variant, the Omicron. Everyone's talking about the new variant. And it seems like people are up in the ante. People are nervous about what this could mean for the future. What it could mean for the vaccines, what it could mean for the supply chain, what it could mean for whether or not we stay open or locked down again.
By the way, CNN has put back up the death ticker.
Oh, that's back?
New cases, new percentage. We're back on COVID fear porn.
Oh, Brandon's not going to like that. I thought they were only doing that because Trump was in office. But if they're going back to that, that's not good news for anyone in Washington.
Well, they need to distract from something so they can show that there's so much breaking news we can't possibly talk about Chris Cuomo.
And they're pretty much telling us two things at once. They're saying we're worried about this variant because we think the vaccines may not work to prevent it. And as soon as they get finished telling us that, they tell us, but go out and get your boosters anyway.
That question was literally asked to Dr. Fauci this morning.
Let's actually hear it.
The messaging is kind of confusing that the virus may evade our current vaccines or immunity from previous infections, but that people who haven't yet should get vaccinated. Can you clarify why getting boosted or vaccinated with the vaccines currently available would potentially be protective against Omicron?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So let me explain. The vaccines that we use are directed against the original, what we call ancestral strain or the Wuhan strain.
Wait, that's racist.
He might get canceled. That so new guy at Twitter's not going to like it.
So you get a certain level of antibodies that are specific against that strain. Then we had the evolution of variants, including, for example, the very problematic Delta variant. So if you look at the mutations on the Delta variant and you look at its function, you actually diminish somewhat the protection that is induced by the vaccines. However, when you get a high enough level of antibody, and it's not only antibody, it's other elements of the immune response, particularly when you boost it, you get a level so high that even if the mutations of various variants diminish that level of protection, you are still within the range of some degree of protection. And that's usually most manifested in protection against severe disease that leads to hospitalization. So when we say that although these mutations suggest a diminution of protection and a degree of immune evasion, you still, from experience that we have with Delta, can make a reasonable conclusion that you would not eliminate all protection against this particular variant. And that's the reason why we don't know what that degree of diminution of protection is going to be.
Then why are you scaring people about it?
The markets seem to hear them.
Yeah, Dow's down 500 points right now.
But we know that when you boost somebody, you elevate your level of protection very high. And we are hoping, and I think with good reason, to feel good that there will be some degree of protection. Therefore, as we said, if you're unvaccinated, get vaccinated. And if you're vaccinated, get boosted.
So that's what Fauci's saying. If you look at Market Watch, which is a financial publication, they have a piece that went everywhere this morning. And the headline is, "This is not going to be good." That's a direct quote from the Moderna CEO on what scientists are telling him about the Omicron coronavirus variant. So the markets are paying attention to the CEO of Moderna and not flip-flop Fauci. But it seems like the powers that be are still paying attention to flip-flop Fauci, including Congressman Eric Swalwell. He represents Northern.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
California in the House of Representatives. He said, quote, "I'm losing my COVID patients. I've tried to reason with the unvaxxed. I've directed some to medical pros. I don't judge, but hear them out and steer them to facts. The unvaxxed love to say it's about choice, but you know who doesn't have a choice? My three kids under five." Now, I wonder if that's with a legit wife, or did he slip one by the goalie with the Chinese spy? Maybe he's got more than three. Are you holding out? Blah, 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 blah. You have a right not to get vaxxed. Fine. Then businesses and government have a right to tell you that you're not welcome to patronize, or you can't get on a plane. Because what right do you think you have to expose my kids to your COVID? As parents, let's own the outrage. The loony carnival barkers at the school board meetings do not reflect where most parents are. Your unvaxxed status is creating new variants, so get your damn shot or stay inside your house, but don't mess with my kids," end quote. So it's all those evil unvaxxed Republicans in South Africa that created this new variant, and Eric Swalwell is very upset. You know, he's going to have to find that Chinese spy and blow off some steam, I think. He's that angry. But he's not the only one. Jim Cramer, the bald guy who's always screaming on CNBC, thinks the government should force you to take the shot if you haven't taken it, and presumably the booster as well. Let's listen to him on CNBC.
"With the new Omicron variant sweeping the globe, how do we finally put an end to this pandemic? How do we save lives and get business back to normal so everybody can put dinner on the table? Simple. The federal government needs to require vaccines, including booster shots, for everyone in America by, say, January 1st. There are still some things that need to be done at a national level, and this is one of them. But as we brace for another wave of new deaths from a virus that has killed more Americans than World War II or even the Civil War, it's time to admit that our government has lost the ability or the will to make our people do the right thing.
All right. That's what Jim Cramer's saying, and that clip went viral. It went all over the place. You'd think it was a sex tape involving one of the Kardashians.
It went so viral, they're calling it an Omicron.
It's called the Omicron.
And he seems to have a lot of fans out there that believe that the government should require all of us to take the shot. Let's have a conversation about government. Because Jim Cramer may be an expert at picking stocks or finance or the economy or whatever it is that he talks about and people pay attention to him and take his advice on. But one thing he doesn't know a whole lot about is government. And to take what he suggested and to really truly think it through, you have to think like a bureaucrat. Because bureaucrats would be the ones responsible for enforcing this. Prior to going into radio, I went to school to be a political scientist, and I studied around and went to school with a bunch of people who turned out to be bureaucrats. So I have a little bit of window into the minds of how they think. And I'm going to take you there for a second. It's a scary place, and you might all get PTSD, but you really do have to think like them if you want to game this out. When you make a law, when you make something illegal, when you put some kind of restriction or taxation or regulation on a group of people, the very last stop on the subway is always going to be someone with a badge and a gun enforcing it. And it doesn't matter what it is. If you impose a tax on cigarettes, you generally speaking, as with all government laws, as with all regulations, you rely on large-scale compliance. Because if no one follows the rules, you don't have the manpower or the ability to enforce it. So you rely on 7-Eleven and the grocery stores and everyone who sells cigarettes, the gas stations, to collect that tax and send it to you. And if there's just a small percentage of them that don't, you could focus your attention on them and force them to pay up. However, if they refuse to comply at every step, and you say, well, we're not going to send someone with a badge and a gun, we're going to send them a strongly worded letter. And after we send them a strongly worded letter, they'll start paying their tax. Okay, what if they don't? That's easy, John. Then we'll fine them. All right? You can send them a fine in the mail. And if they don't pay, we'll send them a second fine. Okay, if they don't pay that, what do? We'll send them a third one and keep upping the dollar amount. All right, well, if they don't pay that one and they're refusing to acknowledge the law or comply with the law, what's next? A summons to appear before a judge. And if they don't show, a second one. And if they don't show then, well, that's when we send someone to knock on their door. Okay, who are you sending? At a certain point, when you exhaust all of your options, you rely on someone with a badge and a gun having a confrontation with someone, and you're either going to force them to comply through force, or you're going to take away their freedom and put them in jail. Those are your options. So whenever it is that you change the law or you make something illegal, you have to understand that when you have exhausted everything else, that's what you're willing to do to enforce it. And just because you think there's a certain population of people who you're going to punish, don't be surprised if in reality it turns out to be a completely different population of people. You may think it's a bunch of rednecks in pickup trucks who aren't taking the shot, but in my world, the people I know who haven't taken it are largely people who have already had it and recovered, or women of childbearing years who don't want it to impact their fertility, many of whom work in the healthcare profession. So, let's say Jim Cramer gets what he wants, and you don't have large-scale compliance, first of all. What is the population? 60% vaccinated, something along those lines?
Yeah, of the whole population, including children, we're at about 60% of the country.
Okay. So there's your first problem. You're going to have approximately a third of the country not compliant with what you want. And if you require the boosters, that number is going to jump dramatically. So you're going to have to hire a whole bunch of new cops to enforce this and a bunch of new people to work for the court system and people to deal with the fallout if you're going to actually enforce it. So no more defunding the police. You're going to have to increase the ranks in those departments dramatically. That's first on the list. And then you're going to have the stomach, if you actually do that, to hold people down and force them to take the shot or put them in prison. It's not possible. It's not practical. It's not going to happen. But it's shocking to me, given the reality of what you would have to do to enforce something like this, how much support it seems to have. This man, again, may know a whole lot about the stock market, which is tanking today, but he knows nothing about government. And in a world where police officers are getting involved in confrontations with people and videos are popping up all over the news and the internet, do you really want to increase the number of negative interactions that cops have with people, particularly those who don't want to take the shot? Is that what you want? I certainly don't want that, but that's what you'd get. And if you want to go back and look for an example, you don't believe me, I mentioned cigarette taxes and regulations as being something you have to be willing to send someone with a badge and a gun to enforce at the end of the road. That's what caused the interaction between Eric Garner and the police. That was over cigarette taxes. So whenever you pass one of these laws, always keep it in the back of your head, or you raise a tax. If someone doesn't do it, at some point, someone with a badge and a gun is going to force them to. And if you aren't willing to do that, don't pass the law. Let's go back to flip-flop Fauci. This is flip-flop on the severity of, how do we pronounce it again, Joe?
It's called the Omicron.
But wait, I thought it's different.
For the identification of Omicron.
I don't know what we call this thing.
We should have been calling it she.
For the identification of Omicron.
Omicron.
Here's flip-flop.
Thank you kindly. Dr. Fauci, can you address the question of severity of disease from the cases that we know? It's been sort of widely said that we shouldn't overinterpret what has been seen as mild cases because some of these might be in younger people or be early on in the case sort of progression. Is that your view as well? In other words, what do we know so far? You said it's too early to tell, but what clues or breadcrumbs do we have about how severe these cases that we are seeing so far are?
That was a really leading question, that we don't want it to get out there that the thing's not that bad.
Just imagine if they let Ron Lynn from the LA Times in on these press conferences.
Oh, Fauci would be so vindicated.
Yeah, that's a good question. Be careful about breadcrumbs. It may not tell you what kind of loaf of bread you have, because...
Is that a joke?
I'll tell you. Are we looking at the news or the Def Comedy Jam with these two?
Breadcrumbs. It may not tell you what kind of loaf of bread you have, because we really don't know. There have been, as you mentioned correctly, some anecdotal reports out of South Africa that the physicians, mostly private physicians, who've been seeing patients are seeing that they appear to be a less of a severity of illness.
But okay, stop the tape. I love how he points out that these physicians are private physicians. What, as if we'd get better info out of county?
Well, and he's saying, don't look at the anecdotal evidence. Do you know what anecdotal evidence is? Data. That's the data and the science. Nobody has reported anything severe out of this thing. In fact, you're not even talking about the loss of taste and smell with Omicron. You're talking about, like, muscle soreness.
It's strange to me how they're so easily willing to dismiss actual data. Yet their models that have been incorrect, are models that they will absolutely stand by till the last dog dies.
You said quite correctly, most of those are among younger individuals. We believe that it is too soon to tell of what the level of severity is. We, Dr. Walensky.
This is the problem with the plan for the worst strategy. Even when it's right in front of us, until we have looked at this thing for months, we have to assume that this thing's Ebola.
Yeah, we don't have time to wait, Dr. Fauci. We're building the plane as we're flying it. Let's not take a look at the worst case scenario and go, let's pretend like we're definitely going to get that.
Of what the level of severity is. Dr. Walensky and I specifically asked our South African colleagues that on the most recent Zoom call that we had, and they agreed with us that it's too early to tell. They're hoping that it is going to, across the board, give a lower level of severity, but they don't know that right now. So they agree with us and we agree with them that it's just too early to make a definitive prediction.
So let's assume the worst.
About what the severity is going to be. We will know, though, because they are really looking at this very carefully. That gets to the 2 to 4 weeks that I was talking about on one of the slides. We should have a much better idea within the next few weeks.
Now, this is what really scares me, is this. We don't know how bad it's going to be for the next 4 weeks. And we're going to play a lot of this sound tomorrow of the LA County Board of Supervisors meeting. But I already heard this morning Hilda Solis being like, well, with Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up and we don't know how bad this is, Ferrer, what should we do?
See, this is why tone matters, because you have flip-flop Fauci and Rochelle Weeping Walensky and all of that crowd in Washington. But then you have the dinner theater versions all over the country, like the fake doctor Barbara Ferrer.
No, thank you.
Oh, yes. You're welcome. And since they don't know what they're doing, they're taking the lead from Fauci. But because Fauci's trying to play it both ways, well, it could be mild or it could be severe, but we think it might be severe. How people interpret what he's saying matters. The tone of his voice matters. The choice of his words matter. Because if you're Barbara Ferrer and you're sitting at home and you're, I don't know how much your home is worth, but it's $600,000+, it's probably a nice one. And you're looking at flip-flop on TV and you're looking at the calendar and you see Hanukkah and you see Christmas and you see New Year's and you see the Super Bowl. Guess what her inclination is going to be? Her inclination is going to be, he's saying there could be a worst case scenario. Let's plan for that.
No, thank you.
About what the severity is going to be. We will know, though, because they are really looking at this very carefully. That gets to the 2 to 4 weeks that I was talking about on one of the slides. We should have a much better idea within the next few weeks.
Cancel your Christmas plans because we got Omicron to deal with.
And no one can plan on anything. If you're in the convention business and you're trying to...
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Determine whether or not your convention will happen. Let's say you're Las Vegas and you're the Mandalay Bay. You're in charge of finances for that hotel. And you're listening to Fauci say that. You don't know if your conventions are going to happen in the spring or the winter, or you're going to have to cancel them. You have no idea. And if you are a business that services that industry, if you're a restaurant that caters to that crowd or a bar or a showroom or whatever the case may be, no one anywhere in the chain can plan because we know it's a jump ball at this point. And they're telling us different things.
Well, and we're acting like it's day one of the pandemic, and this is so different from, you know, COVID classic that we have to, you know, figure out what's going on here. Nothing kills the market like uncertainty, even when you can look at the last 21 months of how we've dealt with this thing and what it's most likely going to be.
Think about the uncertainty that we're being fed right now. It could be mild. it could be the end of the world. The vaccines could work, particularly if you have the booster, against the variant, or they could provide you no protection at all. You've got Joe Biden saying, we're not going to shut down or lock down ever again. And you got Fauci saying, everything's on the table and we could lock down again. We're getting mixed messaging from people who are supposed to be on the same team. And we are supposed to plan our lives and plan our budgets and plan our businesses and our scheduling around all of this mixed messaging. It is absolutely impossible. And then when you factor in that they keep harping on the fact that it's younger people who are getting this new variant, you've got a kid in school and you're saying to yourself, there's no way the schools can shut down again. How do you plan your schedule if when the spring semester comes around, you might be going to work or you may need to stay at home and provide childcare for your children?
You know, I hate to, again, preview what's coming up soon, but Hilda Solis was asking about that just a few minutes ago, too.
Now, on that point, Randy, you've been monitoring the L.A. County Board of Supervisors meeting today.
That's right. The Board of Supervisors meeting is happening right now, and they're doing their biweekly meeting with fake Dr. Barbara Ferrer.
No, thank you.
And Ferrer did her typical presentation. Here's what Fauci's saying about the Omicron, although she doesn't call it the Omicron.
For the identification of Omicron.
And Hilda Solis was the first one to ask questions because he's the chair of the board. And her level of concern and tone makes it certainly sound like she is looking for permission to shut down the schools, shut down travel, shut down something. Because what are we doing? How can we do more to prevent this? You want to hear a little what this sounds like? We're going to bunch of this down tomorrow, but I got a preview for you.
No, I actually don't. However, we need to hear it.
Thank you. And I'm happy to take your questions.
Thank you, Dr. Ferrer, and I appreciate that.
Always thanking each other.
Oh, yes. Well, it is the Academy Awards.
Appreciate that you were able to come on today to give us this overview of what is happening now. We learned over the weekend that this suddenly came upon us during this holiday season, and we know typically, I think, from information is that sometimes we may not know how impactful this will be till after perhaps a 2 or 3 week period. And given the information you just gave us, clearly that had been circulating in other parts of the globe. So there's a lot for us, I think, that we have learned going through the Delta and other variants. And, you know, I'm wondering what other things in addition can we do right now other than, as you said, to wear a mask?
The last thing you want to hear anyone from the Board of Supervisors say when it comes to COVID is, what more can we do?
If the question is directed to the fake doctor, yes.
As you said, to wear a mask, don't panic, be prepared, be in a preventive mode, I would assume. But I'm particularly...
Don't panic, but prepare for the worst.
But I'm particularly concerned because at this time, with the Thanksgiving break, that many of our children were not able to get their vaccinations. The schools were closed. What are we going to do to ramp that up, particularly in the low-income African-American, Latino community, and others, as well as our elderly and community groups that are still Latino and Black that are not even getting their boosters. So how are we going to message that? If you could maybe shed some light on that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Supervisor, for your continued support for efforts that actually narrow the gaps that we have consistently seen. Both in who's most affected by COVID and now, of course, in the gaps we have in our vaccination coverage.
Like the first 30 seconds of her response is thanking Hilda Solis for asking such a question. And I know that Hilda Solis is taking Omicron seriously because, John, if you watch the video, it looked the entire time like she was about to cry.
Well, if Ferrer gets to shut us down again, then Christmas comes early for her.
So I'm going to skip Ferrer's response there because she pretty much said, well, here's all the vaccine programs that we're doing. But then Hilda Solis doubled back because, you know, we need to think about the children here because it's mostly young people that are getting this thing. So what are we going to do about those kids? She muted herself. Whoops.
Ferrer, just one last comment. Given what we're hearing abroad and what the circulation impact is having there, I'm hearing that children are really the ones that are getting infected.
I think it's young people, but sure, let's say children and freak out all the parents of school children.
Are really the ones that are getting infected. What would you say to that? And what message do we tell our parents then?
By the way, you know who objects to that question more than anyone?
Who's that?
The Lincoln Project guys. To them, someone in their 20s is a little long on the tooth.
But you can already hear the concern, and that's one of five voices in the Board of Supervisors. I'll try to dissect tomorrow what everyone else is saying. But if that is her level of concern, and she's putting out there that we should be afraid because our kids are going to get the Omicron, what are the chances schools are going to be open?
I'm telling you, this is bad news, people. Bad, bad news.
Well, it's bad news for most people. It's good news for this person.
That is fantastic.
She really does sound like a Disney villain, doesn't she?
Our learning spaces are special places.
She does look like Ursula.
Well, the storm clouds are out. The LA County Board of Supervisors, the fake doctor, they're talking about what additional efforts they can make to try to shut down the new variant. We're getting mixed signals from Washington, D.C., whether you're paying attention to the president or flip-flop Fauci or Rochelle Weeping Walensky. None of us know what the future holds, although I do know this. The track record of all of these fools is awful.
The messaging is so bad, we still don't know what the true name is.
It's called the Omicron.
For the identification of Omicron.
We need our friend over at UTLA to pronounce it, because I bet you she'd have her own spin.
You know, I don't want to blame us for this, but I think ever since we've been highlighting her, she has stopped doing those YouTube shows.
Yeah, what's the deal with that?
Our learning spaces are special places.
Maybe she realized it didn't look good for her to be on tape saying that kids shouldn't have to learn their times tables.
We've got two more hours coming up on the John Phillips Show, including the Fix California Hour up next. Are we shutting down again? We'll explore. 790 KABC.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.